reading from Colossians 3:1-3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with the Christ in God.
Well, this is a bit different, isn't it? Normally I'm up the back in the media, in the production centre, looking at the backs of your heads. Today I get the pleasure of looking at your faces. That's fantastic. Sorry about your luck, but, you know, all complaints to Ashley. There you go. So as you know, well, I hope you know, we've been doing a series on the armour of God. Ashley's been doing a terrific job with that. But this week, he was a little bit busy moving house. Poor excuse, I know. But he's been busy, so this week he asked if I could take care of this one. And this week we're going to do the helmet of salvation. Okay? So the thing is that sometimes we look at the details. And in part, what we're doing with this series is looking at the details of the armour of God. But then when I was reading through this passage in Ephesians, I found that there are some things, well, some things that stood out to me. Rather than looking at the details, I thought I'll take a step back and take a big picture look at it, take a more distant look at the scripture and see if we can see anything that kind of stands out to me. And sure enough, there were some things that I found very interesting, and you might not, but I'm going to share them with you anyway. So the first thing is that the scriptures that are in this passage mention quite a few parts of the armour of God, and quite a few of those parts of the armour of God are actually taken straight from the Old Testament. And that surprises some of us, because we think this is the whole new thing here. But it actually isn't. The greater part of what we're reading here is actually taken from the Old Testament. And what's another interesting point is it's taken all from the book of Isaiah. Let's have a look at the first one. The first one is, fastened on the belt of truth, is from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. The breastplate of righteousness, that's taken from Isaiah 59:17. The shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness, well, that's from Isaiah 52:7. And the helmet of salvation, which we're looking at today, that is also from Isaiah 59:17. So there's four of the components of the armour of God that are actually mentioned in the Old Testament. So it gives us a bit of a feeling that the whole time God is trying to get us to see something. He's trying to get us to understand what his heart's about, that he wants us to be protected and he wants us to know what his protection is. So if we move on to the helmet of salvation, well, when we talk about the helmet of salvation, this letter to the Ephesians was written about 60 AD. And at that time, the people would have been thinking about the helmets of the Roman soldiers, because they would have seen that all day, every day in the streets. The second point is that Paul's final exhortation was this passage. So this Ephesians passage that we're reading from Ephesians 6 was actually his final exhortation to them. This is the bit that he really wanted to hammer home to them. If he wanted them to remember anything, it was this. He wanted to leave them with this. He thought this was the most important thing for them. And as we'll see in a little while, he had good reason to think that. The third thing that I found pretty interesting was it's full of directives. It's not sit back and wait for it to happen. It's not, I'll just go and have a prayer time, a bit of praise and worship, and it'll happen. No, it's actually quite distinct in saying put on, take up, having fastened. So the onus is on us. It's not that God doesn't want to help us. He will. He's there. He's there by the Holy Spirit. He's with us, isn't he? So he'll help the process. But it's us that need to take the onus. He's asking us to. He's giving us that directive right here. We don't just sit around and wait for it to kind of automagically happen. It's what we want. It's what we want, isn't it? But that's not the way it works. So the helmet. This is a representation of the helmet they would have understood at the day. It was there to protect the head in battle. And the reason to protect the head was, well, of course, that's pretty important part of your body, isn't it? In fact, it holds your brain, which controls your whole body. So that's the reason for having a helmet to protect you. So what's the helmet of salvation about? That's interesting. Well, what's the head about? Well, the head is where we do our thinking. It's where we do our processing, right? It's also where we do our speaking and our seeing and our hearing, etc. from. So I think there might be something in that, something important in all of that. Because before we speak, we think it. And when we see something or hear something, we filter it through the things we think. You know, we form patterns of thought and patterns of ideas, don't we? And then based on that, we then see things and hear things in a particular way. So it's pretty important to have that helmet of salvation to protect us so that we're having good, proper thought patterns, isn't it? We make lots of choices in life, but those choices are based on our thought patterns, on the things that go through our head on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes those things aren't great, are they? We, you know, sometimes our thoughts just wander off to places that we wonder what's going on. I don't know. Sometimes you think, what am I doing thinking that? Where did I go? How did I get there? So we need a means to be able to manage our thought processes. Interestingly, it's the helmet of salvation. So how does that work? What's the salvation part of it? Where does that come into it? Well, I was thinking about it and I thought, well, it's not the helmet of warm fuzzies and happy, happy, joy, joy. And it's not the helmet of, being responsible and rational and reasonable and logical and all that. It's not that. Because those things are the sort of things that leave us in control still. Right? But when we talk about salvation, well, we don't have any control over that at all, do we? So what is it about salvation that protects us? Well, I was thinking about it and I thought, at that point when salvation becomes real to us, when we meet Christ and we embark on that walk of salvation, it's the mercy of God and it's the grace of God revealed in Christ, isn't it? And what happens at that point? What is our response? When we first understand that, when that first impacts us, it has an effect on our lives, doesn't it? And one of the things it does is it puts us in our right place. And that's the protection. Because all of a sudden, we're in right relationship with the world and with God. We're protected by being humble. Because that's what happens. When you come to Christ, when you understand salvation and it comes to you, when His mercy and His grace impact you, you can't help but being humble and thankful. And then you just want to tell everybody. You just get so excited and you want to share that grace and you want to be gracious and merciful to others. I think that's what the helmet of salvation does. I think that's what the helmet of salvation is. It's holding on to that. It's holding on to that revelation that His mercy and His grace have been given to us. Amen. And it keeps us in that right relationship. It keeps us humble so that we can live the life subject to Him and as a kind of an offside to that, when we live in that place, God is more able to speak in us and through us, I believe. And I think that's really the secret, that salvation for us, it flows out. It flows out. His grace and His mercy flows through us and out to others if we keep ourselves in that place, keep ourselves humble before Him. And that's what the helmet of salvation is about, I believe. So If it's our thought life, then that's pretty challenging, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but that's where I have the most trouble. It's keeping your thoughts, you know, in place. That's where it all happens, and that's the challenge. If you're going to have a problem, it starts in your thought life. You know, anything we do or say wrong or whatever, it starts in your head, right? And so that's why we need the helmet of salvation, because, well, the armour of God is there to protect us from the devil and the stuff that he does. But sometimes he doesn't need a lot of help. We're pretty good on our own, aren't we? You know, we make it pretty easy for him at times with our thought life. I've been a Christian for about 40 years. And I remember when I first got saved, you know, back in the late 70s, and it was amazing, incredible. And I don't know if there's anybody else here, but do you remember that first flush, that first excitement of love for God? You know, it's just amazing, isn't it? It just takes over and fills your life, and you can't help it. You're just so excited about it all, and you start to see the world with new eyes. Everything's different. All of a sudden, your thought patterns are different. And all of a sudden, the things you thought were true, you understand from a different perspective, and now they're not so true. And everything about your life changes, and it's just so exciting. And that flush of experiencing the saving grace of God is magnificent. And I don't think we're meant to forget it. I think that's really important. That sometimes we walk through life, and as we walk through life as Christians, we kind of become dulled to all of that. You know, the cares of this world and the day-to-day life kind of dull us down a little bit. And sometimes we can get to the point where, if we're not careful, we're actually a long way from where we were when we started. And we're actually, you know, in a place that's fairly grey, shall we say, if not dark. Sadly, this is what happened to the Ephesian church. Remember I said Paul put this passage right at the end of his letter to the Ephesians because he knew it was so important for them as a church. Well, sadly, within 40 years of him writing that letter, we read this in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. That was written to the Ephesian church, less than 40 years after Paul had written his letter to them. That's pretty sad. You know, a generation and it was all over. What about us as individuals? Maybe some of us here today are in a similar place to the Ephesians where we've lost that initial love, that excitement that we first get. Maybe we need to revisit it in our minds and our hearts. Maybe you're feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit calling you back. If so, then we need to remember, you know, when he talks about repent. Repentance is not an action. We fall into a trap if we think it's just something we do. Repentance is not an action. Repentance is an attitude. It's something you take up and you carry with you every day. You live a life, a repentant life, and that's how we as Christians need to live. And that's part of that whole humility thing, isn't it? Keeping yourself in that right place. Understanding where you stand in the grand scheme. So how do we continue to put on the helmet of salvation? Well, it's not a formula. You know, it's not a set of rules and regulations. It's not check boxes. We love that, don't we? Because then we can feel good about ourselves. Yeah? Oh, yeah, I've done that. And I've done that. And I've done that. I'm good. Now God better come to the party. No. That's not how it works. But sometimes that's how we read it because, again, like I touched on earlier, it kind of keeps us in control. But that's the problem, us in control. So we'll read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now that's a pretty interesting phrase, isn't it? So God's not really overly interested in our thoughts. He is, but there's something else that he's looking at. He's not looking at our thoughts. He's looking at what's going on deeper, where thoughts are generated from. He's looking at our intentions, our motives and our attitudes. Because we can fool people. We can put on the game. We can you know, pretend to be fantastic people and do all the good stuff, but we don't fool God. We can do all the good things, but can have bad motives, selfish motives. But we don't fool God because he sees where it's all coming from, deep down in our heart. He sees our attitudes and our motives. So we need the helmet of salvation. We need that protection, don't we? We need the whole armour of God. Paul, in the passage, he says more than once, he says, put on the whole armour of God, not just this bit or that bit or the bit you think you need. The encouragement is to put on the whole armour of God. Ultimately, the goal is to have the mind of Christ and reflect the heart of the Father. Is that what we want? Do we want to see that? Do we have the courage to place ourselves where God can do that in us, though? That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
In Romans 12, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're encouraged to allow our minds by the Holy Spirit to be renewed so that ultimately we can begin to discern the will of God. Now that's something that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Can you imagine that? That the God of the universe is willing to allow us to know his thoughts and his heart. That's pretty impressive that he would want to do that with us, broken humans. But that's the promise. That's the scripture. That's important. Because we don't see the whole picture, do we? Only God sees the whole picture. You know, I was talking earlier about sometimes we look at the details and sometimes we need to step back and see the bigger picture a little bit. Well, in the grand scheme, only God sees the big picture. And he gives us little insights every now and again, doesn't he? But he's willing to let us see more and more of the big picture as we submit ourselves to him and let him open our eyes and our hearts. So it's up to us to allow ourselves to be transformed by the Holy Spirit as we stay in that place where we remember grace and remember mercy and stay humble before him. It's not easy, because it gets a bit scary. Because we don't naturally want to give away control, do we? We want things to go the way we want them to go. We want things to go the way we think they should go. He has perfect understanding. So if we can just allow ourselves to be transformed, to have the mind of Christ, it can only be good for us and for our relationships with others. Let's go back to our friend Isaiah. In Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it's, you know, there's this thing all the way through. He's trying to let us know, I'm on your side. Just don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You know? He's constantly wanting to help us, but he can only help us as much as we allow him to. So this is how we, these are the processes through which we can put on and fasten tightly the helmet of salvation. It's not about a checklist. It's about looking for the heart of God in all of this and understand what his heart is for us. So because our ways are not his ways, we have a very real need to have our minds renewed, don't we? In Philippians, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a bit of a quote formula, but we can't go wrong with that, I don't think. I think that's a fair lesson right there. And interestingly again, it was the last thing that Paul wrote to the Philippians before signing off his letter. So this whole idea of the way we think and the way we go about our lives was paramount to Paul. And he's constantly trying to leave us with that thought. This is the thing. This is how you got to live. This. And again, finally, in Colossians, where Acacia read earlier tonight, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. How do we put on the helmet of salvation? How do we fasten it tight? How do we protect our heads, our minds? By getting our minds off of ourselves. That's difficult, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I find it's so easy sometimes. Spend all week, you go to work, you do your job, whatever, and most of the time, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about, I want this, I want that, I want to do this, I want to go here, I. We just naturally go there, don't we, as broken humans. But this passage is telling us the secret is to get your eyes off yourself. That's how we put on the helmet of salvation. And that's where I want to finish, because that really gets down to the heart of it. That's where it's really at. It's about what goes on in our heart, our motives and our attitudes, and how that affects our thoughts. And then once it's affected our thoughts, it affects our behaviour and the way we relate to everybody and everything around us. The thing is, he wants to help us to get to a place where Christ is at the centre. Christ is our example. Christ is our Lord. And Christ is our goal. Let's take on the whole armour of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your mercy and your grace are so great that we can't comprehend it. It's constantly flowing and we just can't understand it, Lord. It's too big for us. But we're so thankful, so grateful, Lord, that you constantly pour it out upon us. Father, we ask that you'll help us, Lord, to allow you to pour out your love, your grace and your mercy through us to others. Lord, help us to put on that helmet of salvation to protect us, to help us to have good thought patterns, good attitudes and motives and intentions. Lord, help us to be your people, not just in name, but in our lives, that you may be glorified in us always, Lord. Amen.